your devotionals open to the center section, please, where the quotes are. We'll start there, and then we're going to go back to the back where the Luke passage that Teresa just read. I don't think there's any subject in all of the church that has more zany apocalyptic writings than what we call the second coming. And to unmuddle that, there's only one way to unmuddle it, and that is let's look at the word. Let's go to the text. Let's talk. Let's listen to the one who is going to be doing this. Because today, in this passage in Luke, Jesus tells us exactly what's going to happen. And we learned in Revelation that he said, look, I'm coming quickly. And you see in your bulletin, devotional, the three words, sudden, total, unmistakable. And I want you to understand this about when Jesus says he's coming quickly. This is vital and important to get before we go on with this study. If I say, I'm coming into this sanctuary, I'm not in the sanctuary now, and I'm telling you, I'm going to come in here quickly, I don't mean I'm going to come in a few days, or I'm going to come in a day. What I mean is, and what this means is, when Jesus says this, when I do come into the sanctuary, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to hesitate. There's not going to be a process. There's not going to be a lot of warning. There's not going to be a lot of fanfare. I'm not like Gary. I always know when Gary's coming into the church. You know how you know? The entire church shakes when Gary shuts that door downstairs. We're having Bible study, and I said, there's Gary. I'm always right. See, that way we know Gary's coming. So he's not really coming quickly. But when I come into the sanctuary, it will be right away. That's what Jesus means. When it occurs, I'll be here in the sanctuary. Let me give you a couple examples of what the second coming is going to be like. I remember 9/11, and you do too. I woke up on 9/11, September 11th. It was like any other day. Remember that? We didn't suspect anything. There were no observable signs. I remember where I was in the office when someone came in and said, a plane has flown into the World Trade Center. And I remember looking at the footage of that event, people on the street. You remember when those buildings collapsed? Sudden, total, and unmistakable. People on the street didn't have to be told, those buildings are collapsing. Everybody knew it. Everybody saw it. Nobody expected it. I'll give you another example. This meteor that I think a week or 2 weeks ago had a flyby over Russia. Did you see any of the footage on that? That was remarkable. There's an example, again, of sudden, total, and unmistakable. I remember when I saw that footage, people were just going about their business. And then this meteor comes through their atmosphere and lit up the environment, lit up the sky. And everybody there, no one had to say to them, look at this, how light the sky is. Look at what is happening, because it was obvious what was happening. Now, that's the second coming. And I know that there's a lot of tradition about this. I know that maybe 2/3 of the books written in Christian bookstores are apocalyptic books that tell us this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, and when that final thing happens, then the second coming is going to happen. I've read them. You have too. It's interesting. But just because it's interesting doesn't really mean it's accurate, does it? Last week, Jesus' angel told us there is a sign of someone who's ready for this event. Remember the sign? It's pretty simple. If you want it to happen, that's a sign you're ready. if you pray for it, that's a sign you're ready. If it is your ultimate prayer, when you have your prayer time, do you say in your heart, and do you mean it, Lord, may it be today. Lord, yes, come quickly. The angel said, that's a sign that you hear the Spirit. But then the angel holds out hope. If that isn't your prayer, the angel says, well, if you're thirsty for that, you should come. You still have time. And you should drink from the spring of living water. The angel says, there's still an opportunity for you to be ready for this event. Today, that was Jesus' angel. Now, today we hear from Jesus directly. And Jesus gives us today another sign as to whether, notice the wording, you were ready. Because the sign that Jesus gives today, it's too late. The time for decision has passed. The angel holds out hope. Jesus says, this is the sign to show if you were ready. So we're going to go through this. And you're going to understand today clearly what this event is going to be like. Let's look at our quotes. John, Revelation. Look at that first quote. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Now, how can that be? We're going to explain that. Every eye will see him, and these chilling words, this is certain. Amen. Do you have trouble believing in the second coming? You really think that's going to happen? I mean, come on. You know why I believe it? This quote that John is pulling out of Revelation here is from Zechariah and Daniel. He does a compilation of Zechariah and Daniel, and John puts it together into this powerful quote about the second coming. Now, you know why I believe this? I told Teresa this week. I asked her a question in our family room tete-a-tete time every evening. Do the Old Testament prophets have credibility with you? That's my question for you. If you have trouble believing that this event is going to occur, you know what? The Old Testament prophets have credibility with me. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah, Zechariah. Do you know why they have credibility with me? You know why a person have credibility with you? If the things they've told you are accurate, right? If someone's fibbing to you all the time, you have trouble believing them, don't you? But if someone, everything they've told you is true, they have credibility. So when they tell you something else is going to happen, you put a lot of weight in that. Why do the Old Testament prophets have credibility with you and with me? Here's why. We're talking about Jesus. There's five events about Jesus that they talk about. Five events. Number one is birth. The Old Testament prophets are 100% on his birth, where he was born, how he was going to be born. Number two, his ministry. 100% accuracy on what Jesus' ministry was going to be like. Number three, his death by crucifixion. Right on. Number four, his resurrection. Again, dead on. The only thing left, number five, is his return. What we call the second coming. Now, I don't know about you. Right now, we got 4 out of 5 on those Old Testament prophets. 4 out of 5. That they were right on the money, to the letter. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say number 5 is also going to happen exactly like they say. Let's look at the second quote. How is this going to happen? What are we going to see? Don't you wonder that? What is actually going to occur? What is going to be our experience on that day? Look what Luke says. Jesus had been with his friends and followers 40 days after his resurrection. It's the 40th day. He takes them to a mountain and he says goodbye to them in essence. Look how he leaves. He was taken up as they were watching. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, understand that cloud in this literature means the glory of God. Okay, it is not, please understand, a literal cloud, and they never imagined that. This means the glory of God enveloped him. Put it that way. And the glory of God enveloped him and took him out of their sight as they were watching. They're watching, they're speaking to him like that. The glory of God envelops him and takes him out of their sight. And look next. And suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. And they said to his friends and followers, "This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you've seen him going into heaven." We've got crystal clear signs here, don't we? Signs and symptoms. You know, I'm big on that. The same way that he went into the heavenly realm, he's going to come back to us from the heavenly realm. What we call the second coming. This is certain. Let's look at our text then, where Jesus goes through point by point by point what exactly we are going to see. Back of your devotional, what you're going to experience, and some of us will have different experiences, unhappily. What exactly is going to occur? And remember 9/11. No one had to point out to those people, something's happening. Being asked by the Pharisees, they were trying to trip him up here. The Pharisees, you know, were no friends of our Lord and Master. You know what's funny when I read Jesus' biography and the Pharisees come at him? I know that they sat together and they conjured up these things to try and trip up this young, itinerant, non-credentialed rabbi. Who is this upstart, non-credentialed Jesus who comes from not even an aristocratic family, so we're going to ask him this. So they get together and they come up with these questions. And what's great about that is Jesus makes mincemeat out of them every time. And here they come up again. They're going to trip him up. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them. Now watch close. The kingdom of God is not coming with something observable. No one will say, when it does, when the kingdom of God arrives, Jesus says, first, it's not going to come with signs. Nothing observable. No one will say, look here or look there. They won't say, oh, look, the Twin Towers are collapsing. Look here or look there. No one will say that. Why not, Jesus? Well, because, you see, the kingdom of God is already among you. It's already among you. What's Jesus saying? Now, this is important. We have our biblical cosmology down. And this, to me, this really changed my faith. You know, and we're like Jacob when he wakes up from the dream and he says, God was in this place all along and I didn't know it. You know, we need to get around that. God is in this place all along. We just don't know it. Jesus is saying this. And if you understand this statement, you'll understand everything else he says. The kingdom is not coming. It's already here. What is coming is the unveiling of that kingdom. Now, please get a hold of that. The kingdom's already here, Jesus says. The reason you're not going to have observable signs and the reason people aren't going to say it's over here or over there is because it's already here. What is coming is its unveiling, its revelation. Then he pulls his disciples aside, verse 22, because they were listening to this. And I'm sure that they were befuddled by this. Maybe you're befuddled by this too. And Jesus says, look, I understand what I just said to the Pharisees probably upset you, might have confused you. Let me tell you how it's all going to come down. This is the one place that our sovereign Lord tells us exactly what we're going to see. What's going to occur, and what we're going to experience. So he pulls his disciples aside and he says this. Look, we're in these days, by the way. The days are coming, he says to them, when you will long to see just one of the signs that the days of the Son of Man are coming, but you won't see it. Now, that's good and bad. Because, you see, if you have the ultimate prayer in your heart, like the angel said, if you hear the Spirit say, come, you should echo what the Spirit says. And maybe you have that prayer in your heart. I do. Put there by the Spirit, not by Tim. And when we want that so badly, we want things to be as they should be, don't we? We want God's restorative justice to come to this earth like it presently is in heaven. And Jesus is saying, you're going to long for that so much, disciples, that you're going to be susceptible. You're going to be susceptible to being misled. Do you understand this? Let me put it another way. If you are, you're experiencing something really bad, really hard, and you so want to hear good news, and if somebody would just give you the hint of good news, wouldn't you hang on, wouldn't you grab it? You see, that's what Jesus is saying here. If you're in the fray, which you are, you're in the fray, if you're a disciple and you're obedient, and you get to the point where I wish that the kingdom would come now. I'm looking for just one of those days that shows me a sign. Jesus says, that's the danger. And in fact, he says, you won't see it. Now please understand this. There are not going to be any observable signs that we are going to be able to put on a timetable and say, this is when it's going to happen. This is hard for us because I know you've read all the books. I know the Left Behind series. Don't agree with it, but I know it. Our Lord and Master says, don't fall for that. Look what he says. They will say to you, look there, or look here, look at this sign, look at that sign. Oh, it's certainly going to happen next week. It's got to be next year at the latest. What's he say? Don't follow after them. Don't pursue that. Don't give that a minute of your time. You know who else did this, though? You know who else fell for this? So we're in good company. John the Seer, didn't he? The angel shows him the new city. The angel shows him how life is going to be. And what does John do? He falls at the feet of the angel and worships the angel because he's worshiping the idea of that thing coming. And the angel says, don't do that. Worship God. Stay held to the task. What's the problem with this kind of living? Now, again, I told you about my aunt and uncle who are both in the consummated kingdom, or not the consummated kingdom. They're in the heavenly realm right now. This is all they got wrapped up in. Signs and symptoms, observable things that showed that this day was going to come. And Jesus says to them, to us, quite frankly, if you do that, it's really the wrong focus. You really spin out on the wrong thing because I need you to stay to the task of image bearing. And getting sidetracked with this is not a good thing. Well, why aren't there going to be observable signs? In fact, if there are observable signs, Jesus says, that's a sure sign that it's not the kingdom. Why? Verse 24. Why aren't there going to be, and why won't we say here or there? Because, verse 24, it's just like lightning. Jesus says, you know when you see lightning in the eastern horizon, and you may be looking at the western horizon, but the flash is in the eastern horizon behind you. He said, you see it, don't you? You see it in the west. Sudden, total, and unmistakable. And nobody need tell you that was a lightning flash. Jesus says, that's how I'm going to be. He says, lightning flashes from horizon to horizon and lights up the sky, so the Son of Man will be in his day. What does that mean? That means when this occurs, and when Jesus likens himself, the Son of Man likens himself to a flash of lightning, Paul says this too in 1 Corinthians 15, doesn't he? He says, in a twinkling of an eye, no one will need to alert you. It will be obvious. No one will need to say, look here or look there. It will be obvious. On that day and in that moment, what Jesus is saying here, in the twinkling of an eye, like lightning flashes, you will be aware of the heavenly realm. Instantly, it'll be visible to you. Everywhere. Because when he comes, the unveiling of the kingdom comes with him. That is how every eye will see it. We will be like Elisha's servant that Elisha took outside and shows him the mountains with chariots of fire surrounding them. In a moment, like lightning flashing, the kingdom that is here, Jesus says, it's already among you, is going to be unveiled, apocalypsed, revealed. No one will need say, look at this or look at that, because we will all be focused on the same thing, looking together at this amazing sight. No one needed to say to those people in New York City standing on the streets, the buildings are collapsing, because it was sudden and total and unmistakable what was happening. Jesus isn't coming. You won't say, look, there's an observable sign, he's coming. He will simply be there. He's coming quickly. When the event occurs, it will happen instantaneous, like lightning. How exciting is that? But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Now, that's what he's going to be like. Okay, get a hold of this. Number one, that's what he's going to be like. Lightning. What is the day going to be like? When we wake up on the day that this lightning from heaven is going to strike earth, what's it going to be like? Well, Jesus tells us what the day is going to be like. Remember, no observable signs. What are the days going to be like? Verse 26, he tells us, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. Well, okay, Jesus, fair enough. Well, what was it like in the days of Noah, Jesus? Because here we got a clue. Now we can write the paper back. We can tell this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, and then lightning's going to flash and everything's going to come together. Oh, well, that may not be true. Verse 27. What will it be like on that day? People went on. I love that phrase. He uses it twice. People went on. We got up September 11th, didn't we? We just went on, not suspecting anything. And it rocked the world. Believe me, when this lightning flashes, it will be the end of history as we know it. And it will rock the world. People went on, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They suspected nothing. Do you see this? What did Jesus say about this day in another passage? The angels don't know. Jesus said, I don't know. Only the Father in heaven knows. Now let me ask you a question. If our sovereign, strong Lord doesn't know, we better look askance at some of these books that tell us when it's going to happen. I think we need to be careful and not fall at the foot of the angel and worship that. That's what he's saying here. They suspected nothing. There are no observable signs. It'll be another Monday. It'll be a run-of-the-mill Thursday, and people will be going on until the day. What's that day? It's the day when the Father puts his finger on the first domino and flicks it. And the rest is going to happen. Sudden, total, unmistakable. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, it will be the same as it was in the days of Lot. Well, okay, here we're going to get a hint. What were the days of Lot like, Jesus? People went on again. Business as usual. No observable signs. They suspected nothing. People went on eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But on again the day. There was a day like any other day. Lot left Sodom. Fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. Nothing observable. Suspected nothing. Sudden, total, unmistakable. By the way, there is strong archaeological evidence that this happened in Sodom. It's very interesting. They found, Gary, you'll be interested in this. They found in the place where they thought Sodom was, they tested the soil. High, high sulfur content in just this one area. Amazing? Archaeology and scripture are hand in hand. Verse 30. It will be like that. Now, here's what I want you to do. Circle like that. And circle the two phrases where he says, people went on, and draw arrows. It will be like that. Draw an arrow to each of the people went on. That's how it's going to be. Jesus says, on the day, what's going to happen? The Son of Man, and this is a very important phrase that I circled, is revealed. You see how Jesus words that? Jesus doesn't say on the day that I come. Why? He's already here. He's already here. What is coming is his revelation. This changed my theology, and maybe it'll change yours, to know the proximity of the heavenly realm to us, the nearness, to understand that the heavenly realm does insinuate into history all the time, into our physical universe all the time. You know, things that happen, we pray for things. Here's an example. You pray for something. Teresa and I have been praying about an issue. As far as her teaching, something happened, okay? Something happened in history, in our history regarding her teaching, and we don't like it. Well, that's the answer to the prayer, and it's always in our history. That's the nearness of the heavenly realm. So Jesus says, it'll be like that on the day that I'm revealed. Not coming, I'm revealed. When that lightning flashes, and it lights up the entire sky, when everything that you look at right now, there'll be a superimposition of the heavenly realm. Now, I can't imagine that, but that's the way it's going to be. And the reason we won't have to tell each other that it's here or there, do I have to tell you right now that it's daylight? See, that's what Jesus says. That's how ridiculous it would be. Well, of course it's daylight. You all know that. It's like if we go out outside and it's pelting rain, and I would say to you while we're standing out there, it's raining. You see, that's the coming, the revelation of this kingdom. No one will have to tell you that it's daylight. No one will have to tell you that something really remarkable is just happening. It'll be obvious. Now, watch this. The Son of Man is going to be like lightning, number one. Number two, the day of the Son of Man is going to be like any other day, number two. Number three, how are people going to be reacting on this day? How are you going to react? And this is the sign. This is the sign that Jesus says shows on that day, a man on the housetop whose, now watch this key phrase, whose belongings are in the house must not come down to get them. Likewise, the man who is in the field and his belongings are in the house must not turn back to get his belongings. Why? Did you give that some thought? You know, like Bonhoeffer says, if you live with Scripture, it starts to unfold to you. I lived with this passage for several weeks, and it's amazing what the Spirit does, how it unfolds. You know why? You know what Jesus is saying here? If you're on the housetop and you see this unfold like lightning, what's your reaction going to be? What's your body language going to be? Are you going to run toward it or away from it? This guy who's on the housetop and the one who's in the field and lightning flashes and the heavenly realm is immediately apparent to them, what do? They try to salvage the life that they had. They try to go back and grab that which they had as security, their possessions, their treasures on earth, because they know darn well this is not good news for them. Do you see that? What's your hope in? What will your body language be? When this occurs, will you run toward it? Or will you turn and run back to your security, your possessions? Because Jesus says, that's the sign. That's the sign. Unmistakable, you weren't ready. And here's the sad part about that. Too late. Too late. C.S. Lewis talks about this. He writes about it trenchantly. He says, on that day when lightning strikes, he said, if you weren't a servant of the Most High, and on that day, you drop to your knees in feigned worship, he said, that's not going to cut it, because he said, when that happens, nobody will be able to stand up. Oh, wow. Nobody will be able to stand. Everybody, every knee will bow. Everybody will fall down and call him Lord. But it'll be too late. C.S. Lewis says, that's not going to impress him one bit. It does no good to kneel when you cannot stand. That's the issue here. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, and I'm running over a little bit, but I'm going to finish this whole section because it's important we keep the continuity. A few years ago, Teresa and I asked to meet with a man to get some counsel from him. It was shortly after Timmy. And we looked at him as someone who had some spiritual acumen, and we wanted some help. Great. Come to dinner Thursday night. Okay. Bring the kids. Okay. Sorry, remember this? So, Thursday night comes. We're in the van, all excited for dinner. Drive up to this guy's house. He's out in the yard. Boy, this is a classic example. You talk about body language? He's out in the yard. Sees us drive up. I never saw anybody reverse pivot and run into the house faster than I saw that guy do. You know why? He forgot. He had not tell his wife. He turned around when he saw us come and he ran into the house. And we thought it a bit odd at the time. But you see, that's the point here Jesus is making. He wasn't ready. And his body language said it all. And if when this event occurs, if you're on the rooftop, if you're at your job, if you're out working in the yard, and you see the heavenly realm instantly, your body language is going to show where you put your treasure. And if you turn, Jesus says, and run into the house to try and retrieve the only thing you knew as security, it's not how to get in, but it shows who is in. Do you see that? Your body language. Those who are ready, what are the possessions in your house going to mean to you? Teresa, what are they going to mean to you? Nothing. The thought wouldn't enter your mind to go back and get those possessions. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What did Lot do? What did Lot's wife do when they left Sodom and the brimstone, sulfur rained down on it? Don't turn around and look. Lot's wife was reluctant. It showed her heart, didn't it? When she turned around, she was hesitant because she wasn't ready to leave that life. She clung to it. That's the image here. Whoever tries to make his life, or whoever tries to preserve his life, will certainly lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. What's it mean? On that day. Remember, Jesus is talking about that day. And if you have the idea when that occurs, and you can see, I love that verse in Revelation 20, where the great white throne judgment, and God is on his throne, and John says, and heaven and earth wanted to flee from his sight, but there was nowhere to go. That's what these people are going to be, that's what we're all going to be experiencing. But these people who hesitated to make a decision, even though the angel says, you should come, you should drink, because this is certain. And Jesus says, it's too late. You tried to preserve the life that you knew by running back to the only security that you knew, and that was materiality in your own strength, in your own house, so to speak. And Jesus says, if you do that, if your body language says that, you're going to lose it. It's a sign. It's a symptom. You weren't ready. Verse 34, I tell you, on that night, two will be in one bed. You know what's been my experience? You know what holds a husband or wife back from kingdom living more than anything else? Their mate, who's not on board. That is so hard. And Jesus says, it's even going to come down to that. On that night, I tell you, two will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. You see, we're getting eternal destinies are instantaneously decided. Eternal destinies, instantly revealed and decided. Too late. Because I don't know about you, but I cannot predict when lightning is going to flash. And once Jesus says that lightning flashes, eternal destinies are decided that quickly. Teresa read last week, unready people all over the world will raise a loud lament when they see this, and they will turn and run back to their securities. One will be taken and the other left. Two will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. I leave you with this thought. And I rarely preach like this. And you know, I have not. But again, to withhold truth is the most unloving thing you can possibly do. It is my duty to tell you and anyone listening or on our website, we listen to the angel. And if your prayer is not, yes, come quickly, Lord Jesus, the angel says, yes, I get that, but there's still time. And if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, you should come. If you're thirsty, you should drink. And Jesus says, the reason, the unmistakable reason is because when that lightning flashes, eternal destinies are decided instantly. If the Spirit is speaking to you, you should come and you should drink. Let's pray. Lord and Master, give us the courage. to come and drink. Amen.